Good morning and a very warm welcome to our service at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. We have just received a communication from deepest, darkest Cameroon, from Amos, to say that he wishes us all well with today's service and sends his blessings. Several weeks ago, I issued an appeal on behalf of the Blytheswood Shoebox Appeal. Wasn't quite sure what level of response I'd get, but it's been somewhat overwhelming. We have 30 boxes to date. And don't be alarmed if your box has disappeared from the church. We've been decanting them up to the Galdry for delivery to Cooper on Tuesday. So it's a big thank you for everyone who donated either items in a box, the box itself, or made a contribution to our harvest appeal, a portion of which will go to help fund the delivery of our shoeboxes. And a thanks also to Chris, our youth worker, and the Messy Church team, who put together several boxes, filled them and wrapped them. Undoubtedly, they will bring a level of joy and cheer to the recipients. Not just the items or the contents within each box, but the very fact that somewhere, someone cares for their plight, the people of the Eastern Bloc countries, and in particular, Ukraine. Someone, somewhere, shares the love of Jesus and gives them, above all things, hope. So on behalf of myself and Linda, thank you all very much for your generous donations. We will be delivering them on Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. Good morning. Welcome again. Welcome to worship this morning. Welcome, one and all. Whether you're here every week, or just because of the occasion, or you came along for any reason at all, it is special to have you with us this morning. This week is a plus three. It's our 150th anniversary weekend, plus three. Because 3 years ago, we really were sitting far apart. This is a songs of praise, hymns that would have been sung in the early days of the church. And of course, the songs of praise item means a lot of singing. And no sermon. Before each hymn, there will be a wee bit of background on the writer and composer. And Graham and I will talk about two of the lesser well-known or well-recognised stained glass windows. Now, I'm conscious that means a lot of standing about, and as well as sitting. So please feel free to remain seated if you think you can't cope with yet another hymn. There's hymn books if you can't see the screen. And I have to say also that we're going to have a wee reflection on the history of the church from William Berry. When I phoned William earlier this week, he said, could you introduce me so that no one would think I was pushing myself forward? And I thought, yes, that's okay, and I put the phone down. And then I realised that if this church was a stick of rock, the name Berry would be in gold letters all the way through it. So I think I'll not be alone in looking forward to a wee reflection. And for the kids, there's no mention of you leaving the church at any point, so you're going to be leaving after the third hymn, so it's up to you to keep count. Okay. This house was built for the honour and service of Almighty God, to fill our minds with greater reverence for his glory, built for the giving of comfort for all who mourn, for the teaching and guiding of the young, for the equipping of God's people to work in his service and to inspire our hearts with devotion and joy. Let us worship God. Our first hymn this morning is going to be Glory to God the Father. Words by Horatius N. Bonar. Known as Horace to his friends, Horatius N. Bonar was born in one of the leafier parts of Edinburgh in 1808. He was almost as well known as a preacher. Looking through these lists of hymn writers and composers, I discovered that in both the English and Scottish churches, there was at the time fierce and deeply divisive debate. For example, Bonar himself was heavily involved in the disruption of 1843, when many ministers and congregations departed from the Church of Scotland. And Henry Thomas Smart, he was born in London, 1813. He came from a family of musicians. He was also a skilled mechanic, and he particularly enjoyed building organs. Though he was highly rated at the time as a composer by his English contemporaries, only a few of his hymns have stood the test of time. Sadly, he spent the last 15 years of his life completely blind, dictating all his compositions to his daughter. So then, we will come to sing hymn 110, Glory Be to God the Father. The psalmist writes, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Let us pray. Loving God, on this day of thanksgiving and celebration, we praise you for who you are and what you are. We marvel at your great goodness, the love and care, mercy and forgiveness you have so faithfully shown to us, the strength, support, guidance and inspiration you have so freely given. Loving God, for all the ways you are with us, we praise you. Living God, we praise you for the vision, the courage, and the missionary zeal shown by those who came before us here in Newport, for their work in the building, beautifying, and maintaining this wonderful space in which we worship you today. Living God, for all the ways you are with us, we praise you. Gracious God, on this day of memories, as we recall the past, we praise you for all you have done for us, the lessons we have learned, the blessing we have received, the fellowship we have enjoyed, the goals we have reached, the faith that has grown. Gracious God, for all the ways you are with us, we praise you. Living God, on this day, as we recall the past, we look forwards, anticipating the future. We praise you for everything that you shall yet do among us, all that life continues to offer, all the tests and the challenges that you give our church, all who in time will become part of our Christian family, and all which will bring us joy and fulfillment in the years ahead. Living God, for all the ways you are with us, we praise you. Almighty God, for all you are, have been, and still are, we praise you. We bring these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us the great family prayer of the church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This hymn was never meant to be sung at all. Joseph Scriven was Irish, and even they thought he was eccentric. Sadly, in 1845, his fiancée drowned on the night before they were to be married. A grief-stricken Scriven moved to Canada, where he fell in love with a local lass. She suddenly fell ill with pneumonia and subsequently died. Later, as Scriven lay dying, a visitor came across a scrap of paper in his bedroom. On it was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It had been written for his mother's eyes alone. And Charles Crozet Collinsverse was an American attorney. In his spare time, he worked as a composer of church songs. He's principally remembered for setting to music the words of this hymn. His other claim to fame was an arrangement of The Death of Minnehaha to words by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. So our next hymn is hymn 547, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you. Okay, you young ones, are you coming down to the front? Good to see you all. Are you all well? Great. Well, make sure you're all sitting comfortably. Are we all sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. First thing we need to do is we need to get you standing up. What are you doing sitting down on your feet? Now let's see, whilst you're getting yourselves ready, who's got running shoes on? One there. I'm the best looking guy in church. Decide where you're going to stand according to what I say. Our church's carpet is blue. Is that true or is that false? Have you all decided it's... Have you all decided it's false?
Yeah.
If I was going to say our church's carpet is cherry red, would you say that? What would you say if we said the carpet's red? Roughly. Don't want anybody getting a Dulux colour chart out on me here. Okay. And we're going to say that I'm the youngest person in church today. Is that? This is me doing my granddad bit. Baby Hannah is the youngest person in church today. Is that true or is that false? We'll have a wee look around just in case anybody else has come in with a pram. No, I think we're safe. Thank you, Hannah. There we go. You find kangaroos where their proper home is in Australia. Are you moving or are you staying? Where are we going to go? Oh, are we mostly staying? Is anybody going to think that kangaroos don't live in Australia? We've got one who thinks kangaroos don't live in Australia. Where do kangaroos live? Australia. So that one's true. You can go and join the gang again. So you're quite good with your geography and your animals. So we're going to say there are no flowers in church today. Is that true or is that false? Oh, you're okay with that one. Oh, that's pretty good. And here's one. Let's see if you've been paying attention this morning. It's the church's 150th anniversary this year. Is that true or is that false? Oh, now you have a wee listen to what everybody said when you started. What did they say when you started walking across there? What did they say? They went, oh. What do you think that means? Probably not. Well, you decide. You decide. Is it the church's 150th anniversary a year? Is that true or is it false? Oh, well, the parties are split on that one. That's actually false because it was 3 years ago, but it was COVID, so we didn't have our party at the time, so we're having our birthday party now. Does anybody ever have a birthday party but not actually on their birthday? Sometimes you have it at the weekend. Well, that's what the church is doing, except we're doing it 3 years late. Would you all like to come and have a wee seat for a minute? I was thinking about the word true, and we use true in lots of different ways. So we know how we used true this morning. We've used it to mean the opposite of false. So if it's right, then it's true, and if it's not, it's false. But we use true in other senses as well. So, for example, a little while ago, there was a saying which was quite trendy if you were down with the kids, if you were down with the kids, there was a time when there was a really popular saying which was true dat, which means that is true. But it didn't really mean true like that. That usually meant that one of your pals said something. It could have been a load of nonsense, but if you didn't want to argue with them, you just said, okay, I'll go along with it. And true dat covered just about all these things. You were kind of saying it was true, but it might not be true in the sense that if it was a fact, it was true or false. And we also talk about true. If you're into making things, then sometimes we'll talk about something being true. If you're putting something together and all the bits are in the right place, then we say they're true. It doesn't mean to say that it's true or false, it's just that means it's in the right place. But there's another meaning for true as well, and that is it means that you're faithful and you stick with somebody. And it struck me that we have a birthday song, and in it we sing, "To Jesus Be True." And I thought, well, we normally sing it when it's somebody's birthday, and because it's kind of the church's birthday, I thought maybe we could sing that today. But I think when we sing it, we should remember that what we're doing is, so the song says, "Happy birthday to you," that's the church, kind of the building, but it's really the people. But when we sing, "To Jesus Be True," we're not asking the stones to be true to Jesus. We're asking the people who are sitting in the pews here today, every one of us, you, no matter how young you are, if you're as young as Hannah, or if you're as old as me, even that old, we're still saying, "To Jesus be true," but that means to be faithful to Jesus. So when Jesus tells us to not do things to hurt other people, then we need to be true to Jesus. When Jesus tells us to say sorry when we do something wrong, we need to do that to be true to Jesus. When Jesus says, "Forgive other people when they do wrong to us," then we need to forgive other people to be true to Jesus. So normally we would have somebody standing up for their birthday blessings, but we're going to sing "Happy Birthday" to the church, and we'd like everybody to join in to sing "Happy Birthday." And when you get to the line that says, "To Jesus be true," remember that we're encouraging each of us to be true to Jesus. Could we have some music for that? Now, I should have said at the start, it would be very, very inconvenient if there were any children who also happened to be celebrating their birthday about now. I mean, it would be desperately inconvenient. It would be even more inconvenient if today was actually their birthday. I mean, that would be just so inconvenient. So if there is anybody who wants to inconvenience the whole church by telling us it's their birthday today, there's always one. There's always one. Would you like to come forward for birthday blessings? You need to come up here so we can see you. Now, can you tell everybody your name?
My name is Jacob.
Okay, you don't need to lean in because there's a powerful microphone. And how old are you, Jacob?
I'm 8 today.
And it's today is your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations. So, what class are you in at school?
P4.
P4, and who's your teacher?
Miss Skilling.
Okay, and do you enjoy going to school?
Yes.
Yes. What's your favourite thing you do at school?
Maths.
Oh, a lot of grown-ups are making that kind of noise with their teeth there because we're not so good at maths. And what do you like doing when you're not at school?
I'm not really sure.
You're not sure? Okay. Does anybody in your family know what you like doing when you're not at school? Lego's the best. True that. I think Lego's excellent because you can be so creative with it. And who have you come to church with today?
My mum and my sister.
Good. And who have you left behind?
My dad.
Okay. Well, that's smashing. Well, Jacob, I think we should all be having a prayer for you. So we're going to have a prayer for Jacob right now. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for Jacob, that he's come along with his family today. I want to thank you for all the things that he enjoys. I thank you that he enjoys his time at school and particularly enjoys maths. Father God, I thank you that he can be creative with his Lego. And Father, I pray that you will always remind him to pick up the little bits that his sister might stand on. Father God, I pray a blessing on Jacob, but I pray a blessing too on his mum and his dad and his sister, because you bless them all when they draw together as a family. Father God, we place Jacob in your hands and his future too. Will you teach him to be always true to Jesus? In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we have to sing the song again. I don't think I've ever been in a service where we've sung happy birthday three times in a row, but we are going to do it. Are you wanting to come? You're absolutely sure? I don't want to draw any undue attention. Can we, for one last time, can we sing happy birthday to you? You're also one of the few people we could have invited to actually play that on the organ for us as well. So we're going to be singing again. We're going to be singing one hymn before you go away to Sunday Club. And the hymn that we're going to sing is We Plough the Fields and Scatter. There's one little bit about this story which I really want to share with you, because We Plough the Fields and Scatter was actually a poem, and it was written by a German chap called Matthias Claudius, and he wrote it in 1782. It was translated into English a little bit later in 1861, so it would have been around when our church was being built. But the interesting thing that I wanted to tell you about Matthias was that he was a Christian when he was young, and when he went into his 20s, he actually turned away from the Christian faith. And it wasn't until he was a few years older that he realized what was missing in his life, and he came back to Jesus. And the important thing that I want to say, because we talk about being true to Jesus, the thing is, sometimes we get things wrong. And that's what happened to Matthias. He realized that he'd got things wrong. But just as we talked about saying sorry and making up for your mistakes, that's what Matthias did. Although he turned his back on Jesus, he remembered when he was older, and he became a Christian again, and he blessed us all with the words for this hymn, which we're now going to sing. The hymn is We Plough the Fields and Scatter.
Good morning.
Morning.
As Bill said, my name is William Berry, and it's in fact been my turn today to be the reader for today's readings. However, as part of today's focus on our church's 150th anniversary, it was suggested to me that instead I should say something about my own family connection with our church's foundation. This goes back to my great-grandfather, John Berry of Tayfield. He was born in 1824 and was a member of Forgan Church, the parish church of Forgan Parish, which included the area which is now our own parish. He became an elder there in May 1859. When moves were afoot to establish this church, because of the growing population along the riverside, who were a bit far away from the Forgan Church building, he took a leading part in a committee which was formed to bring this about. And indeed, he was, I think, chairman of the committee. Once the church was built, he clearly maintained close links here until his sadly early death in 1877. As a memorial to his father, another William Berry, who died in 1852, he dedicated a window at the east end of the church. It is the left hand of the four windows and depicts St. Matthew. Forgan Church itself, which is on the St. Andrew's Road, about half a mile south of Forgan Roundabout, was closed in 1981, and it is now a private house. It was only built in 1842 to provide a building more in the centre of the parish than its predecessor, Old Forgan Church, which is beside Kirkton House, some mile east of Vicarsford Cemetery and the Leng Memorial Chapel. As our family arrived at Tayfield in the late 1700s and were worshippers at Old Forgan Church, it seems likely that the father of our churches, John Berry, must have had a part in establishing the new Forgan Church, which his son John may perhaps have had in mind when playing his role in establishing our church. Having now been an elder here for just over 50 years, I'm pleased to feel that this has been continuing a long family tradition. Thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you very much, William. When I survey the wondrous cross, Isaac Watts, who wrote the words, was an English Congregational minister, hymn writer, theologian, and logician. He is credited with some 750 hymns and is recognised as the godfather of English hymnody. However, when he was very young, his father asked him why he kept his eyes open during prayers, to which he responded, "A little mouse, for want of stairs, ran up the rope to say his prayers." Quite rightly, he received a sound beating for that, to which he cried, "O Father, Father, pity take, and I will no more verses make." Well, he managed to write a few more after that. Edward Miller was an English musician, composer, historian. His father had worked as a paveur. That meant he laid stone slabs. But Edward left home pretty promptly to study music. For a while, he played in the orchestra of George Frederick Handel. For 450 years, he was the organist at St. George's Minster in Doncaster, eking out his meager wage by teaching. As well as Rockingham, he has two other tunes in CH4. So our next hymn is 392, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Praise to the holiest in the height. Born in London in 1801, John Henry Newman was an English theologian, academic, intellectual, philosopher, polymath, historian, writer, scholar, and poet. He was ordained as an Anglican priest before turning to Rome, which he considered the only one true church. He became a cardinal and in 2019 was officially approved as a saint. He wrote the poem, The Dream of Gerontius, which was set to music by Edward Elgar, and praise to the holiest comes from that poem. John Bacchus Dykes. Born in Hull, his father was a shipbuilder. He grew up in an evangelical family, but changed to Anglo-Catholic and then became a ritualist. The debate in the church between the various factions was unpleasant and unremitting and reached the courts. There was a Privy Council judgment against the practices of the ritualists. These included facing east during the celebration of Holy Communion, using wafer bread, and wearing vestments other than cassock and surplice. Dykes is best remembered for the 300 plus hymn tunes he composed, 11 of which are in CH4. So we now will sing Praise to the Holiest in the Height.
few words about the Thomas window. I'm hoping you're not expecting anything too learned. You're not going to get it. But it's entirely appropriate that we have a window to commemorate St. Thomas, because this church, as many of you will know much better than I, was originally called St. Thomas's. It was given its name because of an earlier chapel in St. Thomas of the Seamilns, which the building and the exact location we have lost, but would have been somewhat closer to the river than we are just now. There are a few things that strike me about that, but what I would really like you to do is, if we can have a wee look to see what Thomas looks like. It feels wrong projecting this up on the screen, because if you want to know what the window looks like, turn around, you can see it in the flesh. You'd also don't have to put up with my bad photography. You will recall the story of St. Thomas. After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there, and the disciples all told Thomas what he'd missed, that Jesus is risen, and Thomas wouldn't believe. He said, unless I see where the nails were in his hands, unless I see the injury to his side, I won't believe. Jesus appears to the disciples and to Thomas, and Thomas says, my Lord and my God, which we have preserved on the window. The thing that strikes me about the window, however, is, again, I'd like you to turn around, because you'll only appreciate it if you look the other side, and that is, he's actually looking up to Jesus at the moment of the transfiguration, something that also the gospel tells us he was not a witness to, but he's holding his hands up as he's saying these words. He's holding his hands up in declaration, saying, my Lord and my God. He is, I think, for all of us, a reminder that we all have moments of doubt. And it puts me back to what I said about Matthias Claudius earlier, that our paths are not smooth, they're sometimes stony. And we have Thomas as a reminder that we have a forgiving God. The big window talks to us about how Jesus takes away the need for constant sacrifice. It takes away the need to worship in a special place. The Transfiguration tells us that Jesus is the connection between God and us. When things go wrong, we don't rely on sacrifice. And we have Thomas there holding his hands up to remind us that Jesus is also our Lord and our God. And when we get things wrong, Jesus is still there. When we open our arms to him, he is still our Lord and our God.
Our next hymn is Abide With Me. Henry Francis Light was born in Ednam, which is near Kelso. He is listed as a Scottish Anglican divine, hymnetist and poet. When he became a vicar, he took over the charge at Lower Brixham in Devon. And it is said that he started the first Sunday school in the area. It was so successful that at their second picnic, they had between 800 and 1,000 pupils. The congregation was expanded equally. They had to build an entirely new church. However, Light himself expressed an enthusiasm for the high church tradition. And this pretty much scunnered the entire congregation, which, including the choir, deserted him. Light was never a healthy man, and the words of Abide With Me were written following his final sermon. William Henry Monk was an English organist, church musician, and a music editor. Oddly enough, when he was young, he was not much recognised for composing, but he worked hard and wrote many popular hymns. He made many changes in church music, and plain chant was introduced when singing psalms. And it was indeed Monk who developed the idea that hymns should be appropriate to the Bible readings in the church calendar. In 1857, his talents as a composer, arranger, and editor were recognised when he was appointed the musical editor of the first collection of hymns, Ancient and Modern. So we sing hymn 580, Abide With Me.
Oh, Abide With Me.
Let us join together in prayer. First of all, let us pray to dedicate our offerings. Lord God, you are always giving and forgiving, and we are always getting and forgetting. We make our offerings to you, not as a sign of our great love for you, but as an acknowledgement of your great love for us. So will you take these offerings and make them fit and work for your loving purposes? Will you take us? Will you remake us, restore us, rebuild us to work for your loving purposes too, to build the kingdom of Christ Jesus here in Newport and wherever we have an opportunity to put in a good word for you? And it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We come together as well in our prayers for others. Let us pray. Lord God, we remember before you those who are in need of your healing touch or your loving embrace. We remember especially those people who feel like their lives are covered in darkness and they feel like they are helpless. Lord God, whether they have made bad choices, whether they are the victims of misfortune, or whether they are suffering from poor mental health, Lord God, will you be their God? Will you abide with them? Father God, we pray for those who are suffering the decay of old age and illness. We pray for those whose sin and wrongdoing, whose persistent walking on the wrong path or harming others, mars your world and harms your children. Father God, we lift before you the people who have not seen the beautiful path you lay before them. Father, open all our eyes to the guiding of Jesus. Lord God, for the people who wrong us, will you open their eyes? Will you be their God? Will you abide with them? Father God, we remember those who are facing or have suffered the agonies of a loved one's death and bereavement. Father, in Jesus, you have promised us life. You have promised to see us through the darkness of death. Lord God, will your promises be dear to those who are suffering bereavement at this time? Will you be their God? Will you abide with them? Father God, we pray for our world, our troubled world, shrouded as it is in darkness today. We pray for Israel and Palestine. We remember that our witness today is after a long line of witnesses that started in that country. Father, we pray for those who feel like they are completely helpless and are living in a time of darkness. Father God, will you be close to them? Will you abide with them? Father God, in the name of the Prince of Peace, will you raise up people who will fight, not to fight to kill, but fight to restore peace? Will you raise people to fight, not to kill, but to fight to reconcile? Will you raise people who will fight, not fight to kill, but fight against injustice, in the name of the Prince of Peace? Father God, we pray for your church here. We give thanks from the depth of our hearts for the much witness that has gone on before that has brought us each to this place. And Father God, we ask that your Spirit would rest upon this congregation here and the congregations around us, that we too could witness to the community that you have placed us in. Will you help us to reach out in the name of Jesus, to be the embrace of comfort, to be the hand of healing, to be a true witness to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. It was written by Henry Williams Baker in 1868, so it's still in time for our church. He based it on Psalm 23, which you will recognize straight away. The hymn, you may also recall, was sung at the funeral of Princess Diana. I feel like it's a bit of a family day for me today, because the only other thing I'm going to tell you about this hymn was how it was sung at our wedding. The King of Love.
The left-hand window in the west wall of the church depicts St. Nathanael. He was one of the apostles. His name appears only in John's Gospel, but it's now generally accepted that he is referred to as Bartholomew in the other three. The window was installed by George and Isabella, parents of Alexander Rollo, who died in 1905 at the age of 29. And above it, there is an inscription, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." And it comes from John's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven again and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is right at the top of the window, and it is a crown of life. I also had the wee thought that Alexander Rollo, who obviously died quite young, might just have been a former pupil of Dundee High School, because it's the same crest as appears on the school badge. I think pretty close anyway. The next slide has an angel coming down. As you can see, the angel is holding a piece of parchment with nothing on it. And I'm told that in the hierarchy of stained glass windows, that means it's the lowest order of angels. And in the main part of the window, we see Nathanael standing in the shelter of a fig tree. He's wearing a very ornate gold and white costume with red and blue outer garments. Gold and white are symbolically colours of purity and innocence. Red is the colour of the passions, and here it means love. Blue is the colour of the sky, and here again means heavenly love. He's depicted holding a scroll. This was because Nathanael was generally credited to be particularly well-versed in Jewish law. He's one of the last disciples to whom Jesus appeared. He's mentioned as being present at Lake Tiberias when Jesus encouraged Peter to continue fishing, and they ate part of the catch for breakfast. After Pentecost, there's no mention of Nathanael, but tradition holds that he went on missionary journeys to various places, including Armenia. It was there he met a dreadful death. A wee bit too graphic, I think, for a Sunday morning. But normally, just to say that normally, when you see Nathanael in a stained glass window or in a painting, he is holding flailing knives. Now, before we sing the last hymn, something I should have mentioned at the beginning. After the benediction, you're going to see Sheila come up and attempt to lift the big pulpit Bible. It is a beast. We've discovered the front piece is actually torn, but when we looked at it this morning, we think that it is the original pulpit Bible for the church. The binding and the general state would suggest it has been around since that time. Onward, Christian soldiers, our last hymn. Sabine Baring Gould was an Anglican priest, hagiographer, antiquarian, novelist, folk song collector, and eclectic scholar. His bibliography consists of more than 1,240 publications. He was descended from a crusader, and as a youngster, he travelled extensively in Europe. When he was sent back home to further his education, he promptly contracted bronchitis, from which he never fully recovered. He himself considered his greatest work to be a collection of folk songs of Devon and Cornwall. His grandson, William Stuart Baring Gould, wrote a fictional biography of Sherlock Holmes. With no actual background to work on, he just used his grandfather's childhood instead. Sir Arthur Seymour Sullivan was an English composer. almost certainly best known for his 14 operatic collaborations with W.S. Gilbert. His works include 24 operas, 11 major orchestral works, 10 choral works and oratorios, 2 ballets, incidental music to several plays, and numerous church pieces, songs and piano and chamber pieces. He was another one that suffered illness as a child. He was described as delicate and easily fatigued. In spite of that, he obviously produced an enormous amount of work. His private life could be called colourful and busy. Think rock star. Sullivan has 7 compositions in CH4, and so we'll stand now to sing our final hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. Thank you for your singing this morning. You've really earned your soup. Our service here is ended and we journey out into the world. As we do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always.